John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus gives us some very clear instructions here to love. And what I wanted us to look at this morning, first of all, is why do we love, and then who we are to love. Why are we to love? First of all, we're to love because God commanded it. Jesus commanded it. We are commanded to love. I don't know about you, but my first thought when I read this is, what a strange command. We are commanded to love. Doesn't that sound odd to you? I mean, you know, when I hear that, I think of a parent with two squabbling kids. Have you ever been one of those kids or have one of those kids? You know, a parent with two squabbling kids and they've been fighting, and mom or dad comes along and says, "Johnny, you better go and hug Lucy or tell her that you love her," or the other way around. And you guys have to love each other. And it's like, what? You know, how do you command love? Like, how does that work? Why is it even commanded by Jesus? A command I give you to love one another. And I think Jesus puts it this way. He commands it because love isn't natural. You say, oh, sure it is. Well, it's not easy. Falling in love is easy. Being all, you know, starry-eyed is easy. But to truly love the way Jesus means for us to love is not easy. In fact, it goes completely against the grain of our nature. We get love mixed up so easily. Jimmy received this following note. This is what he got. It said, "Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you. I love you, and I love you. Yours forever. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery." Yeah. You know, it's just a little joke, but, you know, our love is so often selfish. Our nature is to love for ourselves. What can I get out of this relationship? We look out for ourselves. That's what the disciples were doing when they didn't want to stoop down and wash feet. No one wanted to serve. No one wanted to lower themselves. No one wanted to be looked down upon. And we are inclined to look after ourselves. That's our nature. That comes naturally, to care for ourselves, to feed ourselves, to protect ourselves, to provide for ourselves. And that comes naturally. And so Jesus gives a command in order to break what is we are so naturally inclined to do. And he says, "Here's a new command for you." Now, it wasn't new in the sense that, you know, he had never called people to love before, that to love one another was something new. It was new in the sense that this was a new emphasis for the disciples. You know, if we think about the context, up until now, the disciples had been focused on Jesus. They had followed Jesus. They had talked about their love for Jesus. They had learned from Jesus. It was always Jesus. And so now Jesus says, I'm giving you a new command. Not only do you need to love me, but you need to love one another. I'm not going to be with you guys anymore. I'm only here for a little while longer. And so all the love that you had for me, you need to have it now for one another. You need to redirect that to one another. It is imperative, Jesus is saying, that you love one another. It isn't a suggestion. It isn't something he says, you know, you need to work towards. Work it up, build it up slowly. It's a command, and it needed to happen now. Why do we love? Well, first of all, because Jesus commands it. Secondly, we love because Jesus demonstrated it for us. He said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have shown you, as I have demonstrated for you what love is, that's how you need to love one another. What I have done, I've done for you to show you the full extent of my love. I have done it so that you will understand what love is. Again, it's so easy for us to mix it up. We think love is a feeling, and there are feelings in love. We think love is something that, you know, warms our heart and all of that sort of thing. We think we know what it is. We think we're all experts on love. But really, we fall short. And that's why Jesus had to demonstrate what love is. Don't love one another the way you think you need to. As I have loved you, the way that I have shown you love, that is how you need to love one another. Not just what you think it is. And how did Jesus demonstrate his love? Well, we've seen it in the earlier part of chapter 13. He humbled himself. He took on the very nature of a servant. And this is just days before he went on the cross. It wasn't about what he needed. Love was about what his disciples needed. We get love mixed up. We think it's about us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And as followers of Christ, it would seem appropriate that we follow his example, that we follow what he did. And just so that we don't get the wrong idea of what love is, Jesus showed it to us. Not once or twice, but repeatedly, what really love is. Not just some feeling, not just some emotion, not just something that makes that's good for you, but something that pours out. That serves, that sacrifices, that gives. We love because Jesus commanded us. We love because Jesus demonstrated it for us. And we love because, well, this is the mark of a follower of Christ. This is how we show that we are a follower of Christ. And you know, it doesn't take long when you come to church to hear all sorts of important things. You know, we talk about how it's important to read your Bible. We just did a 40-day emphasis on reading the Bible. We talk about how important it is to pray. We have a prayer night on Wednesday night. You know, we talk about going to church and Bible study. These are all important spiritual disciplines. We talk about giving. It's a spiritual discipline. We talk about taking communion or baptism. These are all important. These are all means through which we grow spiritually. We need to participate in all these things. These are all good for ourselves, but we're not here just for our own sake. We're here to be a blessing and a help for others. And when we love one another, we are showing that we are true followers of Christ. Jesus is saying that the key characteristic of anyone who represents Jesus is love for one another. When you look at the disciples, they were competing with one another. They were looking for places of prominence. They were looking for places of recognition. They did not want to stoop down. And really, that's why Jesus is making this emphasis. If you want to show that you are really my follower, stop trying to get ahead of everybody else. Show your love for one another the way I have shown my love for you. And when we love as Jesus loved, there's no denying who is our Lord and our Master. One of the greatest characteristics of the church is to love. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gives us a command. It's not a suggestion, a command to love one another as he has demonstrated for us. And as a sign of who we belong to, we need to do the same. And we do it gladly. Once in a while, I tease somebody and I say, I love you. And not only because I have to, but because I want to as well. Who are we to love? Well, just to go over it real quickly, first of all, we need to love those within our own family. For some people, this is fairly straightforward and easy. Some of you grew up in families and in homes where there was a lot of love in your home. You knew what it was to feel the love of your family. You knew what it was to be welcome, to have that warm embrace. And you pass that on to those in your family now. But for others, this is a very foreign concept. One child wrote, or maybe prayed, Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in our family, and I can never do it. Sometimes family is hard to love. For some people, they hardly experience that themselves. How can you show the full extent of your love to your family? Think about that. You might not be able to get to the end of where you ought to be by the end of today, but maybe you can take a step in that direction. You know, things often break apart, not at once, but in small little gradual steps. And sometimes things come together in small little gradual steps. And so, what step can you take to show the full extent of your love? The love that God has, not a love that is based on feelings, not a love that's based on what can I get out of this relationship, but a love that serves, a love that gives, a love that sacrifices. What step can I take to show that kind of love to the people in my family? Secondly, we need to love those within the body of Christ. That is clearly the context here in John chapter 13. As the disciples had gathered together, they were the formation, the beginning of the church. Jesus knew that they were going to face challenges. They knew that there was going to be divisions. He knew that there was competition among them. And he says, you guys need to love one another. We are the church. I find it remarkable sometimes, you know, that we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Who are we? We're just a bunch of different individuals from all kinds of weird and wacky backgrounds and different tastes and preferences and shortcomings and all those idiosyncrasies. And somehow, by the grace of God and the miracle of what God has done, we come together and we become the body of Christ. And I always find that just such an amazing thought, that's what we are. And Jesus says, hey, you know, you guys need to love one another. You're not always going to agree. Sometimes you're going to say something that someone's going to get hurt, or something's going to happen there or here. But you guys are in this together. You're not in there to compete with one another. You're not in there to get your name on a plate. You're here to love one another, to serve one another, to look out for one another. And so the question for us is, in what ways can I show the full extent of God's love to those within the body of Christ? Thirdly, we need to love those who desperately need to be loved. There are people who are struggling. There are people who are longing to be loved. There are people who don't know what love is. They've not experienced it. As I said earlier, there are people for whom love is a foreign concept. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told a story of people who reached out and cared and provided food and clothing and visited people. And Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did it unto me. We need to be people who reach out in love to those who are in need of love. One of the early church fathers, Augustine, pictured love in these words. He said, love has hands to help others. It has feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see the misery and want. It has ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of men. This is what love looks like. A whole lot different picture than what we often see in Hollywood or other places. This is love. There are people in need of love around us. How can we, the church, the body of Christ, show the full extent of the Father's love to those in need around us? And fourth, and finally, we are to love those who are hard to love. Oh, yeah. There are people, and you can probably think of somebody right off the bat, that are really hard to love. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody in your workplace. Maybe it's somebody in some other place. And they are a test. They are a challenge. They have done nothing to deserve love. They have perhaps rejected expressions of love in the past, and it's a risky business, isn't it? Someone who is difficult, someone who returns evil for good, someone you can't really trust, there are difficult people, rude people, sometimes just plain difficult, plain different. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Huh. If you love those who love you, if you love those who are easy to love, Norman, he's talking to me here, if you love those who are easy to love, what's the big deal? You haven't really done anything. How can I show the full extent of the Father's love to those who are difficult? Difficult. The challenge. I'll get nothing in return for that. Do I need to? Jesus says, love. The bottom line, friends, is the world is looking at you and me. In a sense, we're on trial. Those outside are trying to determine if we are for real. You might remember a few weeks ago I preached about being authentic people. Are we really for real? We can say all sorts of things. We could sing all the songs. We could do all the rituals. We could all that kind of good stuff. And all of that has its place. But are we really real when it comes to loving one another? Jesus says this is how people will know that we are real. They've heard the evangelists. They've listened to the preachers. They've seen it all before. They have an idea of what the Bible says. But all that is not going to amount to anything if they don't see living examples of what Jesus talks about. And that's why Jesus issues a new command. It will require sacrifice. It will be costly. Love is always costly. It costs us time, it costs money, it costs comfort, it costs our reputation sometimes, it costs the risk of rejection or something else. But it's this kind of love that stands out in a world that is filled with hate and bitterness, in a world that is filled with selfishness and anger. It's this kind of love that stands out and proclaims what words alone could never proclaim, that we belong to Jesus, that Jesus has done a transformational work in our lives. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? To change us. And what's the evidence of that? How will the world know? If we love one another. John said it again in 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Imagine that. God's love made complete in us. May it be so. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, love is something that sometimes it seems so easy, and other times, and in the deeper sense, it can be so difficult. And I pray, Father God, that you would help us as your people to take on this command, to receive it, to follow it, to do as you have demonstrated for us. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to show the full extent of your love to those in our family, in the church, in our community, and perhaps most importantly, to those who are the most difficult to love. And Lord, as we do that, I pray, that your love would live in us and be made complete in us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.